You may be seated. And if you will, open your Bibles. We're kind of going another direction. But let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Kind of going a little different direction here, but it's by the direction of the Holy Ghost. Following Him. You know, I always take a popular opinion poll, you know, before I preach. I do. I certainly do. You know, you go to the Sam's Club or something, they're in there. If you're hungry, go to Sam's Club. You know, they got all them little stations where they give you a cracker and a cheese and you get you some juice over here and go back and get you a piece of ham over there. And just tell them, I need another piece. That's pretty good. You know what I mean? Because what they're doing is taking opinion polls and they're trying to get your opinion of that food. They want you to buy it while you're there. Well, I take a popular opinion of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost before I preach any time. And by unanimous decision of them all, I want to talk to you tonight about the truth that you must, this is the title, you must take authority over the devil. You must take authority over the devil. There's a lot of people. I believe because they don't understand and have a lack of knowledge. There's a lot of people that thinks that God or Jesus is going to do something about the devil for them. But He's not. We live in an age right now and in a time that the devil is on a rampage. There's all kind of evil going on all around us. But thank God we've got authority over the devil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It, prophetically speaking, as far as our country is concerned and our nation is concerned, as far as I know about history, you know, and I wasn't there when it was founded because Pastor taught me I wasn't. I'm going to change my confession. She said, I read about it, but I wasn't there, you know. Hallelujah. But as far as I can tell from history, we're in one of the darkest times that our nation has ever known as far as turning away from the things of God and the Word of God being under attack. You know what I'm talking about? And we've had dark times in our nation, bad times in our nation. But I'm talking about from a spiritual perspective, the Christian church and the Christian faith is under greater attack than at any other time since the founding of this nation. And it's by design of the devil himself. Because the United States of America was founded by God to be an evangelization nation to the other nations of the earth in this last day end time move of God. Now that doesn't mean that other nations are not going to be involved and are doing things, but the United States of America has been the main evangelization tool of God, I guess, over the last 100 years maybe. We have sent more money to other nations, founded more churches in other nations, sent more missionaries to other nations than any other nation on earth since, I don't know, I say 100 years, it may be a little less than that, because, you know, the United Kingdom, put it like this, England was sending out a lot of missionaries. In fact, they came here, you know, missionaries from there. But what happened is that, don't know if you've been to England lately, but that place has gone into darkness. God sent me to England supernaturally back yonder in 2007. And He said, I want you to go to England. He said, go to that nation and prophesy to that nation and tell them that they've got the door open to the devil. And if they don't close it through repentance and turning back unto me and taking authority over the devil, there's going to be much devastation and destruction in that land. I said, God, I said, I've never been across the big pond before. I've been across some small ponds and across a river or two, but I'd never been across the big pond. I said, how in the world are you going to work this out? He said, you stand right here, and within 5 minutes, he said, your way over into that nation is going to be granted to you. So I'm standing there, and this gentleman that I had never met walked up to me and said, I am so-and-so from the United Kingdom, which makes up, you know, England is part of the United Kingdom. And he said, I'm in England. And he said, we have a church and a Bible school there. And the Spirit of the Lord told me to come and ask you, would you come to England and minister to there? I said, brother, I didn't tell him what the Lord had said. I said, I believe that we could work that out. What do you have in mind? Anyway, I went there and I told him. I preached about what the Lord had told me. He gave me the message to preach. And we had people that came in from Ireland, and they came also from Wales. They came, a country, Wales. And they, of course, came from England. But they came from different places around. And as God ministered and met the needs of a lot of people. But when I left, and of course, I had a vision about England, and I saw devastation and destruction that was coming to England. That's when God showed me to go over there and tell him to close the door to the devil. Well, when I started preaching that message, they looked at me, as Dad Hagin would say, like a cow at a new gate. Because a lot of people can't believe that things are going to happen, even though it seemed prophetically, when everything has been quiet for so long. There's been no disruption. There's been nothing wrong. And then suddenly, here comes devastation and destruction. People almost want to laugh. And I knew it wasn't God doing it to them. It was the devil. The devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And so I preached it, and I told about the vision. I told them how God had sent me there supernaturally. Didn't tell them all the little details, but how God had sent me there supernaturally. But again, most looked at me like a cow at a new gate. But within a week's time, maybe less than that, after my feet came back here to the shores of the United States of America, and I got off the plane, it was just a few days before I started getting phone calls from England, where the bombings had took place right there in the same place that I was standing, declaring to them that this was going to happen. And you could believe them that they started believing. And you can believe then that they started praying. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait till it's too late to pray. Pray before you need to pray, and a lot of times you won't have to pray. Pray before you need to pray, and a lot of times you won't have to pray. You know what I'm talking about? We do pray, don't get me wrong. Don't take that out of context. If you'll pray before you get there, the way will already be paved and the devil will already be bound, and you won't have to pray. He'll be bound when you get there because it's already done. But a lot of times people wait too late. We must take our authority over the devil. Of course, like I said, got a lot of phone calls about that and afterwards, and of course, emails and communications from over there. But God knows what he's doing. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, the Apostle Paul, under the power of the Holy Ghost and the anointing of the Holy Ghost through the Apostle Paul, recorded these words for our benefit. He said, finally, my brethren. Now, I'm going to do like my brother down here. I'm going to throw the sisterins in too. So this is the sisterins and the brethrens. When he says brethren here, he's not necessarily talking about male or female. He's talking about the body of Christ. He's talking about those believers in Christ. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, strategies, temptations, tests and trials and attacks of the devil. All that's wrapped up in the word wiles. Says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I'm glad that he didn't stop right there. He told us what was going on and why we need to be strong, and why we need to be strong because of these devils and demons. But verse 13 says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able, that you may be empowered, that you may be equipped, that you may be anointed to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In other words, the devil cannot win. I said the devil cannot win. He cannot win against the saint that will stand on the word of God, that will stand on the name of Jesus, that will stand on the blood of Jesus. And sometimes you have to keep standing. I said sometimes you have to keep standing. That's according to how long the devil's been involved in the situation, as to how long you got to stand sometimes in situations. I mean, when he's coming against us, thank God that we know what to do. I was dealing with a family situation one time, a close family member, a close relative. And I don't know what it was. We'd got along over the years, off and on, pretty well. But we had a few times some what you call in country talk knockdowns and dragouts. Now, it wasn't necessarily fist fights, but you almost thought that it would come to the blows. Because I was a good Christian, and this particular individual and family member, I don't know what it was, but they just had a burr in their saddle against me for some reason. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is. They must have had on the wrong boots or had the wrong blue jeans on, is all I can tell you. And everything would go all right for a while, and then all of a sudden this person would rise up against me and come against me and tell people how sorry and low down I was. And I'm telling you, I would read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'd read that love chapter. Brother Higgins got a book that doggone thick on love. I read it so much I wanted to burn it. Forgive me. Don't tell him on me when you see him. But I'm telling you, my God. I said, I know what I'll do with this book. I'll knock them in the doggone head with it. That's what'll straighten them out. Some folks won't listen to reasoning. My God, we'll just knock them in the head and get it over with. You know what I mean? I see you laughing. See, I got your number. I done read your mail. I know you've been right there. And I'd read that. Brother Higgins said, read it out of the Amplified. You know, I got tired. I started just throw the Amplified away. My God, I done read it so much. The more I read it, the worse it got. The more I confessed it, the worse it got. This stuff went on for over 20 years. 20 years. That's a long time. And you trying to walk in love. I thought, my God, if you want to perfect my love walk, just take me on to heaven. My God, don't put me in this stuff. I mean, because it just get me all messed up. One day, when everything I had tried for over 20 years, gifts, presents, money, doing things for the individual, and then they'd get mad and mean because I didn't do something different. After over 20 years of trying everything I could in the natural, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. When all else failed, guess what I done? As a last resort, I prayed about the situation. Why don't we pray first? And then we won't have to pray then. You know, that's what I was trying to say earlier. But I mean, I got heartfelt serious. I just got down on my knees. And I said, Lord, I said, I don't know what to do. Lord, will you help me in this situation? I've been dealing with this particular individual, close family member, very close relations. Been dealing with this family member for over 20 years. And I said, you've seen me up and down. Sometimes I'd get it right, but sometimes I'd get it wrong. Because sometimes it just rubbed me so much and get all riled up. And I'd get like old Popeye the Sailor Man. Popeye says, I done stand it. Till I can't stand it no more. You know what I mean? And I would give them a piece of my mind. You know what I mean? Granny said you need to keep your mind. You know what I mean? But you know how we do. I mean, it just get me all riled up. And I'd repent. And I'd ask God to forgive me. And I'd read them scriptures on love, you know. And confess the love of God is in me. And all that stuff. And it wasn't working. So I'm down there praying. And I'm asking God. And I'm praying in the Spirit saying, God, help me. Lord, what do I do? Lord, what do I do? He said, the problem is, son, he said, you're dealing with flesh and blood, and I told you in my word not to do that. I said, why haven't you already told me? He said, because you didn't ask me. I learned from Dad Hagin, there are things the Lord just won't tell you. Unless you ask him. So some of you may be dealing with situations that you don't know why. And you're wondering why I don't get an answer. Be specific in your prayer life. The Lord knows everything. He's got an answer to every question. He's got a solution to every problem. And he said, you're dealing with flesh and blood. And I knew immediately what he was talking about. You know, I tried to deal with this, you know, in the flesh. You know, well, I'll be kind. I'll be nice. I'll just do something good for them. You know, and all that kind of stuff. And it just didn't work. And then I'd get in the flesh because we'd get in a fuss fight, you know, and wouldn't talk for 2 or 3 months, 6 months. I said, Christians ain't supposed to do that. I know it. So why do you do it? Excuse us. You don't want me telling on you, do you? You want me to tell on me? The Lord said, you've been dealing with flesh and blood. He said, my word says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, you wrestle not against flesh and blood. I said, well, what is it then? He said, that is an harassing spirit operating through that individual. I said, my family member, they go to church and sit on the second row. On the second row. Every service. I said, every service. And sometimes do the Pentecostal jitterbug. Way! I said, you mean to tell me that there's an harassing spirit? He said, yes. He said, I'm not saying the person is possessed by that thing, because you don't have to be possessed to yield to it. He said, they're yielding to that spirit because it's against you. He said, that spirit's using that individual and motivating them to do those things against you. I said, what do I do? He said, pray right this way. Say, you foul, harassing spirit that's operating through so-and-so, and call that person's name. I bind you and command you to stop your maneuvers right now, and never will you work against me again through that individual in the name of Jesus. Well, it didn't take me long to pray that prayer. I mean, I prayed it. And ladies and gentlemen, from that day, I have never had one more problem. And that's been 10 years ago. Never had. Now, I run into it sometimes, and I don't tell them, you devil, you lying. Now, don't be telling you, kin folks, you're this flat devil. They might, no, I just, underneath my breath, I say, I bind you, you harassing spirit, in the name of Jesus. And it immediately stops. Every time. But I haven't had any kind of major thing. I mean, it's just been amazing. It's the difference between daylight and dark. I mean, just turned around because I took my authority. Let me point something out to you. Jesus knew all the time I was dealing with this. Why didn't he do something about it? The Holy Ghost knew all the time that I was dealing with this. Why didn't he do something about it? Our Heavenly Father knew about this all these 20-something years. Why didn't they do something about it? Because they couldn't. If I did not take my authority and bind the devil, he would not be bound. So now you want to hear the rest of the story. So here we go. I'm going to take you back in time. I know we have to have a DeLorean to do that. You remember that? Back to the Future. My brother's got it here. A DeLorean. You know, they used to have a program, Back to the Future, an old Doc that looked half wild, you know, with his hair poking out. And they get that thing, was at 80 miles an hour. They hit this electrical wire, zing, and they could go to another place. We're going to take you back to the past without a DeLorean. And I want to take you back to a place that where something took place in December of 1953. And this revelation will forever change the church if they'll get it. God's been trying to get it to the church since 1953 and get them to walk in it fully, and never have we fully. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about the entire body of Christ. But in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, in 1953, Jesus Christ himself appeared to Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin, Dad Hagin, and talked to him for over 1.5 hours about devils, demons, and evil spirits and how they operate in this earth, the hierarchy and rank of them, and how that they will even get a hold to Christians if Christians would allow them to. And it gave him the revelation about how to deal with it And of course, he has taught us about this over the years. He's got a book published called The Authority of the Believer. I don't know if I got them on my table or not, but I got series about there about how to cast out devils, how to deal with evil spirits from a very balanced perspective, things that I've learned over the years and dealing with these situations. And the first thing in dealing with the devil is you don't go hunting the devil. So I don't want to put you on a devil hunt tonight. I like what Dad Hagin used to say. He said, you don't have to go hunting the devil. There'll be enough of them hunting you. You know what I mean? So I'm not trying to get you on no what we'd call a witch hunt or devil hunt. I'm not trying to get you devil conscious and demon kooky. But at the same time, you can't be ignorant in this area of the devil's devices. If you're ignorant of his devices, he'll take advantage of you. But in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, 1953, I have been right to this place. The Lord sometimes takes me there. I've been to McKinney, Texas in North College Street. I've sat in the front of the address of where Dad Hagin was actually born. Not that you have to be there, but he took me there, the Lord, and would talk to me about things. I've been to Van, Texas, the last church that he pastored, about 80 miles east of Dallas, right off of Interstate 20. I drove up in the parking lot, stepped out of that vehicle, jumped down on the ground, and guess what happened to me? Absolutely nothing. But I was there. And the Lord would take me to these places just to show me where he came from. And how that he was able to raise him up was because of his humility. He would never let anybody take him and make him a king. But so many today, forgive me for having to say it, want to be made a king. Even Jesus wouldn't let him and take him, make him a king. He come lowly, riding on the foal or colt of an ass. Remember that? And I'm not cussing. You know what I'm talking about. We'd call it a donkey. My uncle used to have two of them, Jack and Jill. Plow them. He did. He had Jack and Jill. I don't know if they climbed a beanstalk, but they could plow. He taught them things to plow. Had a mule named Kate. When you plow on a mule, if you want to go to the right, you say, G, thou mule. G means go to right. If you want to go to the left, you say, oh, there, Kate. And if you got them trained right, you can throw the plow lines right over your hand. Just hold on one hand to the plow and just walk along and that mule will do the work. Don't make me hook you up. I'm telling you the truth about it. I'll get you G'ing and on in a few minutes. So I went there and I was in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. Dad Hagin said it was no wonder why the Native Americans lost a lot of the wars. Because they had Broken Bow. They had Broken Arrow and No Water. Yeah. There's three cities in Oklahoma named that. You know that, don't you, Mr. Perry? It had Broken Bow, Broken Arrow, and No Water. If you ain't got no water and your arrow's broken and your bow is broken, you shouldn't be on the warpath. I'm here to tell you right now. And of course, I learned that revelation from Dad Hagin, so you can thank him for it, you know what I mean? We learned it from him. But down in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. Now, Broken Bow's down in the southeast corner down there, where Texas, Arkansas, and Oklahoma kind of come together. It's down there. It's right next to the Comanche Mountains, a little bit north of there, and that's where Bigfoot lives. They seen him. They said they seen him. They got his doggone footprints. You can drive down through there and you can see Bigfoot on top of the barbecue place and it's called Bigfoot Barbecue. They got it, but he's in the Comanche Mountains. So if you've been looking for that rascal, you'll find him down there in the Comanche Mountains. How did y'all get me over there anyway? But anyway, down here in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, Dad Hagin, Dr. Kennedy Hagin, was at a pastor's home one night. It was running a revival. I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. Back then it was common to do that, you know. And they were sitting at the table one night, sharing and discussing scriptures. Finally, the pastor's little daughter that was sitting beside her daddy and Dad Hagin sitting across the kitchen table, they was enjoying some refreshments together. She tapped her daddy and said, Daddy, she said, I got to go to school in the morning. Aren't you going to put me into bed? He looked up at the clock and said, "Oh my goodness, honey, it's 11 o'clock. You should have already been in bed." But they just lost time discussing the scriptures. And she said, it was his custom to normally just tuck her in bed and pray with her, you know, and everything. And so he just said, stood up, and then the pastor did and said, decided, "Well, I'll tell you what, let's just kneel down right here and pray. Brother Haken, would you just want to pray with us and we'll send her off to bed and continue our Bible discussion?" So Dad Haken said to the pastor, he said, "Certainly, that'll be fine." So Dad Haken said he felt just as ordinary as we do tonight. He said he hadn't been doing any special praying. Now, he prayed all the time. Any special fasting, even though he did have two fast days a week during that time. I think it was Tuesday and Thursday was his two fast days during that time. But he changed it later on. The Lord taught him how to live a fasted life, you know, and constantly walk in the Spirit. But he had two fast days during that time on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But he hadn't done any unusual fasting, any unusual praying beyond normal. He said he stood up, felt just as ordinary as it always felt. He said he grabbed the chair at the kitchen table and pulled it back so it had more room to kneel down. And he said when he knelt down in something that seemed like a white cloud. He said all the furniture of the kitchen disappeared. He lost his awareness of where he was at. In fact, he was in the Spirit and he wondered what's going on. And he said he looked up to see what was happening, and where you would look up to see where the kitchen ceiling would be, he said the ceiling had disappeared, and he was seeing into the realm of the Spirit, and there stood our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was crucified on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood. He died and was placed in the tomb and rose again the third day and come out and went into the heavens again. There was this Jesus Christ. And he said to Dad Haken, he said, "I've come to teach you about devils, demons, and evil spirits and how they operate in their operations and how they will even get a hold to Christians if Christians allow them to." So Dad Haken was wondering about this. And so Jesus began to teach him. And by teaching him what he would do, he showed him some visions. And I'm not going into all the visions because it would be quite lengthy. But I just want to bring one part out to reiterate what I am talking to us about, that we must take authority over the devil. Jesus is not going to do it for us. The Holy Ghost is not going to do it for us. And God our Father is not going to do it for us. Ladies and gentlemen, you have much more authority than I believe that you've probably ever operated in. The enemy tries to constantly tell us that we've got to put up with situations over and over when we don't have to put up with the devil, not for one split second. We've got authority over him through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, as Dad Haken is talking to him, and he's showing him visions and revealing to him certain things about certain individuals and showing him how to pray about different things. Suddenly, Jesus is standing there talking to him, and he's there hearing what Jesus said. He can see Jesus and hear Jesus. Suddenly, this monkey-like, now it wasn't a monkey, it's just, and I know what he's talking about. I've seen these things before a few times. It was a monkey-like little creature, which was a demon. I saw, I believe, something similar to that one time when I was going to Rhema. My finances was cut off. Back then, we called it Remy. I was from the country in Georgia, and I didn't know how to pronounce that word. You know what I mean? So I went out there calling it Remy. You know what I mean? And they said it ain't no Remy. And then they said that road in front of Rhema out there, 71st, they called it Kenosha. But I was calling it Kenosha because that's the way it's doggone spelled. And if they don't want to say it that way, they ought to change the spelling. But it's Kenosha, K-E-N-O-S-H-A, Kenosha. It's not Kenosha. But they finally got me straightened out, you know what I mean? Or at least still working on me. So this little demon, monkey-like little creature, which was a demon, ran between, and it wasn't a monkey. It's hard to describe it. But it ran between him and Jesus and put out this smoke screen so he couldn't see Jesus. But he could hear Jesus' voice. And then this little demon started waving his arms and hollering, "Yakety yak, yakety yak, yak, yak." You ought to hear Dad Haken tell it. in its fullness. Yakety yak, yakety yak, yak, yak. And Dad Hagin was thinking, don't Jesus know that this demon is not allowing me to hear what I need to hear and I need to get this revelation? I had never heard anything like that in his life up till that time. By his own admission, he had always prayed for God to do something about the devil for him. He didn't know that he had authority over the devil. It wasn't taught back in 1953. People didn't have, a few probably across the world had the revelation, but he didn't have the revelation. He come up, he come into Baptist and he got into the Assemblies of God. And I come up in the Assemblies of God and I'll tell you what we used to do. And I mean, this was back yonder, in the 60s. If somebody was in the church and they was demon possessed, you know what happened? Everybody took their kids and run outside. And went and got in the car and locked the door where the devil couldn't get their babies. Everybody left the church. I'm telling you, that was the way it was. We didn't know about our authority. Dad Hagin didn't know. He come out of the Assemblies. Now the pastor and the associate pastor stayed in there because they had to save face. That's all. But it wasn't because they knew their authority. You know what I mean? But we didn't know it. I'm talking about the early 60s. But even back in the 50s and 40s and 30s, they didn't know this revelation like that. So Dad Hagin, he said, I need this revelation because people didn't preach it. God used Kenneth E. Hagin, ladies and gentlemen, to bring a revelation to this earth to usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ. This church is part of that. This church has received a revelation. We don't worship a man, we worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, you can be right in a major move of God and miss the time of your visitation if you don't understand what's going on. But we're not going to miss the time of our visitation. So he kept wondering, Dad Hagin did, why don't Jesus do something about this demon? Jesus didn't do anything. He just kept talking, but he couldn't hear him. He could rumble of his voice. But this demon in the smoke screen, yakety yak, waving his arms and everything. Dad Hagin said, finally, in frustration and desperation, he said to that demon, I command you to shut up and stop now in the name of Jesus Christ. And he said, immediately, that demon kaflop hit the floor and lay there shivering and shaking. The devil's afraid of you in the name of Jesus. Then Dad Hagin said, I command you in the name of Jesus not only to stop and shut up, but get out of here in the name of Jesus. And Brother Hagin said that thing got up and ran off in the spirit and disappeared. Then he said that Jesus turned and looked at him, pointed to where that demon had been before. Now you have to get this on old recordings. I've got old archive stuff from way back yonder of the reel-to-reel days, you know, when it was real in those days. It was real because it come off the reel to reel. Everybody know what a reel to reel is? Who knows what an 8-track tape player is? I see some that don't, but that's all right. Ask your mama and your granny. They'll tell you. And they know about all these things like that. But anyway, he said, I command you to go. And Jesus turned and he pointed where that demon had been. And he said this to Dad Hagin. He said, if you had not done something about that, he said, I could not have done something about it. Brother Hagin's response was, because he couldn't believe it, that Jesus couldn't do something about the demon. He's got all power in heaven and earth. But he couldn't do nothing about the devil that was messing with Kenneth Hagin on earth. On earth. On earth. He couldn't do anything about the devil. And he said, Kenneth Hagin's response, Dad Hagin's response. He said, dear Lord Jesus. He said, no, I know I did not hear you correctly. You meant to say that you didn't want to do something about the devil, not that you could not do something about the devil. Jesus responded. He said, no. He said, I told you, if you had not done something about that devil, he said, I could not have done something about it. Brother Hagin couldn't believe it. He said, dear Lord Jesus, I know I misunderstood you. And I didn't hear you correctly. You meant to say that you didn't want to do something about that devil, not that you could not do something about that demon that was harassing me receiving something from you. He said, finally, Jesus said, no. And he says, like fire shot out of his eyes. He said, I told you that if you had not done something about that devil and demon and made it go in my name, he said, I could not have done anything about it. He said, dear Lord Jesus, even though you're standing here and I see you just as real as I've ever seen any human being in my life, the gift of discerning of spirits, that's where you see into the realm of the spirit. Other things happen to see into the realm of the spirit. He said, I see you just as real as I've ever seen any other human being. He said, but, dear Lord Jesus, I cannot accept what you're saying unless you give me at least 2 or 3 witnesses in the Word of God that proves to me in the New Testament what you're saying is true. He said, Jesus didn't get mad at him. He looked at him and smiled sweetly. And he said, I'll go you one better. He said, I'll give you 4 witnesses in the New Testament that just what I told you is true and it can be proven by my Word. Brother Hagin said, Dad Hagin said, he opened his mouth and put his foot in it. And it's by his own admission, he said he was one good to do that sometimes. He said, dear Lord Jesus, I've read the New Testament through 150 times. He said, portions of it, more than that. And he said, if there's anything in like that in the Bible, he said, I sure don't know it. Jesus responded, he said, son, there's a lot of things in there that you don't know. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got authority. I'm reminding you, you know these things, but we have to be put in remembrance of them. God is not going to do anything about the devil. These harassing spirits and things that are going on, things that's trying to take over our country, we've got to stop it. The first scripture that he gave him witnesses. He gave him 4 witnesses in the New Testament. More scriptures than that, but 4 witnesses talking about different people. Matthew 28, the Great Commission, verse 16. Says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee and into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, he appeared to them there. This is after he rose from dead, right before he went to heaven. He said they worshipped him, but some doubted. Notice this. People that had been following him even doubted after he appeared to them. You notice that? That's another message. But verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power, which means authority, the word power here should and could have been translated authority. All authority is given unto me in where? Heaven and where? Earth. There's 2 indistinct, separate places. He said, it's been given unto me in heaven and in the earth. All authority, all power, all authority has been given to Jesus Christ. Every bit of it. The devil has no more. I said the devil has no more power. The devil has no more authority. All power, all authority has been given to our Lord Jesus Christ by our Father God through his shed blood, death, burial, and resurrection and sitting and ascending at the right hand of God. All authority, all power now is delegated to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by our God our Father. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Amen. Jesus said to Dad Hagin in the vision, he said, when I told my disciples that day on the mountain before I went up into heaven, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. He said, when I told them to go therefore and teach all nations, he said, I delegated my authority on the earth to the church, to the born again Christian. I delegated my authority. You understand? So all his authority on the earth, he has relinquished unto the believers that are here. But if we don't take that authority and exercise that authority that's been delegated unto us by Jesus Christ, and that authority was delegated to him by our Father God, and that's proven in the Bible too, then if we don't use that, the devil will run over us. This is the first scripture that he proved to him. Can you see that in the Bible? So all authority is given unto Jesus in heaven and earth. All authority. All authority. Say this, the devil has no authority or power in this earth unless somebody on this earth gives it to him. That's up to us. We can stop the devil in his tracks. Now, he has a right to be here until the time comes. We know that. Dad Hagin taught us about that. But he don't have a right to dominate the church. He may dominate the world. He may dominate those that don't know any better or those that's lacking in knowledge of this. But if you are in Christ and Christ is in you and you're born again, you got authority over the devil. He can't boss you around no more. Isn't it good to know that you're a boss man and a boss lady now? If you've been wanting to boss somebody around, it's time you start doing it. If you might have been getting bossed around and getting mad about it, it's time you turn around and them minions call the devil and boss them around. Tell him in the name of Jesus, get out of my way. Oh, some of these old timers. Oh, I've been around them a little bit. Man, you think I'm extreme. They were doggone extreme when they come to the devil. Sister Rachel Tiefenthaler, I don't know if you ever heard, she's in heaven now. She laid hands on me and shook me and my wife every which way but loose. She was taking things out and putting things in. It was like being an old washing machine, you know, the old ringer type that had that agitator that went like that. Anybody remember them? The ringer washers. She's not raising her hand on the front row, I'm telling you. She, in fact, I can go a little further back. You remember the wash pot and the lye soap? Anybody remember that? I remember being in Granny's yard with Granny. Don't make me come back there. I'm telling you, she's not going to raise her hand either. I'm telling you, she's too highfalutin for that. You know what I mean? Woo! She said she read about it. Help us, Jesus. Amen. And that may be true. But thank God, we've got authority, ladies and gentlemen. The devil has no authority whatsoever. Jesus has all authority, all power. Jesus does. And if you're in Jesus, you do on this earth. You do. Mark 16, the next verse. I can see you're getting it. It's reminding you of what you already know. You already know these things. But sometimes we let things slip. And that's why the Holy Ghost wants to encourage us. And he's encouraging me. And what I'm doing is I'm just preaching to myself. And I'm just letting you listen because you came. But I'm preaching to me. I'm reminding me. You know what I mean? But he said, the next scripture Jesus quoted to Dad Hagin, Matthew 16, verse 17. He asked him, he said, what is the first sign that I said would follow any believer? Jesus asked Dad Hagin that question in the vision. Then he quoted in the scripture. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. What's the first sign that will follow any believer? In my name they shall cast out devils. When you're born again, a sign in your life is that you've got authority over the devil. He can't take advantage of you anymore. The first sign that Jesus said would follow any believer is they shall cast out devils, not hug him and pet him and kiss him. I mean, you can cast him out, but you got to mean business with the devil. You can't play with him. I've been around Dr. Summerall. I used to usher a little bit for him. I worked for him as a volunteer. I thought it was the greatest honor in the world. They come and announced on the Rhema speaker there one day that Dr. Summerall was back in 1986 was coming to Tulsa to start a Channel 47, you know, TV station there. It's still in Tulsa today. And he wanted to know if there's any volunteers that could come help and just do any kind of menial odd job, you know, to help him get the station going. Boy, I couldn't wait. Oh, my Jesus, let me out. I would have cut class if I knew it wasn't a sin. Back in those days, it was a sin to cut class. I'm telling you, I mean, Dad Hagin, he was a stickler for you doing right, dressing right, walking right, talking right. And he taught us all those things. You didn't take no shortcuts with him. And I knew this sure as I tried to slip out and get in my orange 72 VW Super Beetle Volkswagen. and go try to find this place, and he'd see me or he'd follow me in the spirit somehow. And he'd whack me or something, you know. So I sat on the edge of my seat, and as soon as the last bell rung, I mean, I made a beeline for that parking lot. I started an old 72 VW Super Beetle Volkswagen up, vroom, flew down 71st, and I knew that it was going to be in this business park, you know. But I didn't know exactly where. They tried to tell us, you know. And I went to sliding in there. Volkswagens are good at sliding in gravel. I slid around in there sideways, turning around, looking, running down this road, turning, coming back down that road. And all of a sudden, I seen a little sign that says, Channel TV 47. I said, that's it. And I come flying up in the driveway, slid sideways because I was going so fast, you know. Pastor taught me how to drive. I don't know. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Amen. Your lessons. She's a good driver. She can maneuver that Cadillac, brother. I'm telling you, she can maneuver that thing. Anyway, I slid up in that parking lot. And there was so much dust, and I was kicking up so much dust and slinging rocks, and I jumped out of that car when the dust settled, and I could see there was a guy standing there. He said, who are you? And what do you want? I said, is all the jobs gone? Is all the jobs gone? He said, what are you? Calm down, young man. He said, what is it? I said, I go to that Rhema over there. And I said, they announced it, Brother Summerall needs some volunteers to help over here. I said, is all the jobs gone? He said, calm down, son. He said, you're the only one that showed up. So I got every job. I had an old van that wouldn't run, so I had to rebuild a carburetor on it. You know what I mean? Change the part plugs out, rebuild the camera booms. I mean, they didn't have nothing. Sweep the floors. But every now and then, Summerall wasn't there all the time. You know, he had to travel all over the world. But every now and then, he'd come by. He'd grab my hand and he'd pray, bless him, Lord. Bless him for helping me, helping your kingdom in the name of Jesus. Bind you, devil. Leave him alone. And he'd turn and go. I say, yes, I bind you, devil. Oh, them old timers, brother, they knew how to do it. They'd just shake the devil out of you, you know. They didn't put up with no devil. They knew their authority. He walked in authority. So you get a little bit of something from being around folks like that, you know. Thank God for it. How'd y'all get me over there? But anyway, you got authority. The first sign that will follow any believer is, in my name, in his name, you're going to cast out devils. In other words, you're going to put a stop to the work of the devil, and he cannot stop you from doing it. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Next scripture. Ephesians chapter 4. All authority, all power has been delegated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he in turn delegated that authority unto us. Isn't that right? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, the Holy Ghost of the Apostle Paul said this in verse 27 of verse chapter 4. It says, neither give place to the devil. He couldn't tell you not to give place to the devil if you didn't have authority over him. Isn't that right? If he could control you and dominate you any way he wanted to, then it wouldn't be right for the scripture to be in the Bible. But Jesus pointed out to Brother Hagin, the Apostle Paul said, of course they said a lot of other scriptures, but this is the one Jesus pointed out to him. Neither give place to the devil. Turn to James chapter 4, the next scripture that Jesus quoted to him. And again, you know all these things. But I'm putting you in remembrance to let you know that you don't have to put up with him any longer. James chapter 4, verse 7. The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and what will happen? He will flee from you. He'll flee from you. Not God, not Jesus, not the Holy Ghost. Of course, he'll flee from them. But I'm talking about, he was talking about you. He's talking about me. He will flee from you. Dad Hagin has pointed out over the years, he looked up this word flee in a big old dictionary in a book one time. It was a big giant dictionary. And one of the definitions was run from as in terror. The word flee means run from as in terror. In other words, you become a terrorist to the devil. He's terrified of you. The Bible says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He will run from you as in terror. That's James saying that. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. The last scripture that Jesus quoted to him. Last two scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse number 8. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. Be vigilant, which means be aware and be alert. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant means be aware. It means be alert. In other words, pay attention. Because your adversary, which is another word for enemy, which is another word for opponent, adversary is an opponent. He's an enemy. We have an adversary, the devil. As a roaring lion, didn't say he was one, but as one, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Why is he walking about seeking whom he may devour? Because he can't devour people that knows that they have authority over him. Verse 9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. What faith? Faith in the blood of Jesus. Faith in the name of Jesus. Faith in the Holy Ghost power and delegated power that you have. Knowing that the same afflictions, that word affliction simply defined means test and trials, are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You see those scriptures. That's the scriptures that Jesus gave him at that time. Of course, he got many more scriptures later. What Jesus was careful to point out to him several times during this visitation, I just hadn't shared it with you yet. He told Ed Hagin, notice, nowhere in the New Testament does the Bible tell the believer to pray to me, God the Father, to do anything about the devil for them. But the believer is always told in the scriptures to do something about the devil themselves in my name. Jesus told him that several times. Now he said that I was going to give you these witnesses. He said, here it is, Peter is a witness. James is a witness. He said, and Paul is a witness. Matthew is a witness. And he said, I'm telling you, I'm standing here and I am a witness unto you right now. And he said, you see this, you see me. So Peter, James, Paul, Jesus, and even Matthew, and the writings over there in the book of Matthew, told about it. He said, you've got at least four witnesses in the New Testament with me standing here that proves to you what I am saying is true. Ladies and gentlemen, what Jesus said is true. Do you know why I know that? Because it's in the Bible. Not because Dad Hagin said it. Even though I appreciate Dad Hagin, I don't say that disrespectfully. But if somebody said anything, but if it couldn't be backed up by the Bible, we shouldn't accept it or embrace it. Dad Hagin taught me to never put personal revelation that you receive yourself above the written word of God. He said, when you do, you're going to get into error and seducing spirits and false doctrines is going to start operating through you. So any revelation that we have must be backed up with the written word of God, ladies and gentlemen. Do you have authority over the devil? How do you know? The Bible says so. Do you have authority over the devil? How do you know? The Bible says so. And if the Bible says so, it is so. I said, if the Bible says so, it is so. So we come to this question. What do we keep putting up with the devil for? Why don't we just bind him and command him to take his hands off of us, off our finances, off our communities, off our children, off our bodies, in the name of Jesus, because we have victory over him and he has been stripped of all authority and all power, and it's been delegated to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then Jesus delegated his authority and he delegated his power on this earth to the born again believer. How do we know that? The Bible says so. The Word of God says so. So victory is sure for us today. Said, Brother Randy, does the devil like what you're saying? Well, it don't matter really, because he's already defeated. Isn't that right? And I know now, when you get home tonight, and I'm not saying you got to go home right away, I want you to go in the front door, kicking the devil out the back door. Now, wait. I know you got some ideas. I'm not talking about your spouse. I don't want, listen, you old devil, you, I knew that preacher said you're a devil. And, no, I don't want you calling Miss Pastor now and getting me in no trouble. I ain't talking about that. I'm just talking about this. Take authority over your domain. We don't have authority over everybody's house, but we got authority over our house. We got authority over what God has given to us. Use your authority. And again, in closing, I like what Dad Hagin said. I don't want you to get demon conscious and devil kooky. You don't have to go hunting the devil. There's enough of them already hunting you. You know what I'm talking about? The only person that wants to find the devil is one that's never met one. If you ever met one, you don't want another one. You say, Chicky Mashiach, pass it me by. Let somebody else have mine. Give somebody mine. I don't want mine. It's like at church. I'm trying to close and y'all keep egging me on. It's like that church up there in the mountains of North Georgia into North Carolina. It was a singing family that went up in there, you know, and there was a singing. And that was one of them Pentecostal type churches, you know, a lot of shouting going on. And the fellow that was a singing, you know, the man at the family, he's a beating on his guitar, and they are drumming and a beating and a carrying on the wife, and they're singing and a carrying on that good old style Southern quartet. Them folks up there in the mountains like that, you know. He said he noticed some boxes kind of down to the front, and he wondered what in the world them things were. He said all of a sudden the fella got happy on the front row, and he jumped up and he started dancing. You know what I mean? And carrying on. And he went down, he opened that lid up on one of them boxes and reached in there and pulled out one of the biggest rattlesnakes he had ever seen in his lifetime. And he said he started shouting in that rattlesnake's ear just to praise in God if the rattlesnake has an ear. Like he was, and he looked at his wife, and he said his wife's eyes got as big as a saucer that you'd put a coffee cup in. You know what I mean? Oh, my God. And they just kept a singing. Another one got happy and run up and got them a snake, you know, and it come out of the box. And then one come and got two snakes. And he got to dancing around there, and there were several of them just dancing with doggone rattlesnakes. Oh, and his wife said, oh, my God, what in the world are we going to do? And he said, finally, he said, this man that had two, he said, they wasn't a selfish bone in that man's body that had them two snakes. He said, he just danced up to where he was at, the fellow playing the guitar. And he said, here, let me give you one. And his wife's name was Geraldine. He said, thank you, sir, but give mine to Geraldine. Give mine to Geraldine. And Geraldine says, the fella said, where's the back door at to Geraldine? And she said, I already looked, and there ain't one. And he said to her, you reckon where they want one? So I'm not telling you to go get no snake out of the box. That's the moral to the story. If the snake's in the box, let the snake lie there. Lay there. Don't be snurring nothing up. But I'm here to tell you, if you run into him, you don't be afraid of the devil. You rebuke him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and command him to go in Jesus' name. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got authority in this day. And it belongs to you and our Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for the Holy Ghost. We